Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, folks, welcome back to Latest Mountainless Wire Hoops basketball podcast, that is, because, you know, Andy, hoops is a short term or slang for basketball, if you didn't know.
I call it shooty hoops, but yeah.
Shooty hoops? That's a good way to do it. MWR.com. We have previews, recaps. What else we got over there? Bracketology for our buddy Larry. Power rankings, which no shock. I'll get to gloat here in a moment. Boise State number one, if you didn't realize. They're pretty good.
They are pretty good.
So we're just going to dive into it. We got a lot of stuff to get into because we had scheduling stuff last time. And so as I'm going to be honest, I'm half kidding saying because Boise fans on Twitter are like, oh, look, non-conference, they're not good this year. They'll pull a reversal and go a 180. They're doing a full 180, have winning, what's their winning streak, 13 in a row, currently number two in the country. Is that correct?
The winning streak? I'm not sure about that. Is it? I would believe it. I'm trying to think of a longer one.
I saw someone on Twitter who mentioned it. Xavier, I want to say. I don't know who it is. But regardless, 13 in a row, man. They have not lost this month of January.
Yeah, that is pretty incredible. And what's really most incredible to me is just that they're doing it with such staunch defense. Because that's, I mean, like a top 10 defense. Which, you know, like Leon Rice has had some good defenses, I guess, but nothing like this before. He's had like one top 50 defense in the past, maybe three or four top 100 defenses, something like that. But like, this is a legitimately nationwide good defense. It's awesome. I love watching him play. Emmanuel Aycott is a lot of fun to watch guard on the perimeter. Lob Narmoush down low is a lot of fun to watch play defense. I mean, he's fun on offense too. But this it's a really, really fun team that's suddenly very spread out and even now that Derek Alston isn't around. Yes. Not to say that, like, you know, he's why that they had problems or anything. It's just they had a lot of talent right beneath the surface, but it felt like you had to feed Alston a lot as well. Without him there, the group that remains is really good on defense. Tyson Degenhardt has been awesome as a freshman too. So there's a lot of good things you can say. And it culminates in a 13 game winning streak, and it's not hard to see why.
I checked Auburn, you know, the number one team in the country, has longest winning streak at 16 games.
So. Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah, are they deserving to be number one? Sure, that's a hot take to say maybe they're not number one.
To say that they're not number one?
Some people are surprised. I'm like, why? They're winning quite a few games and teams are losing, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of who is playing the best basketball right now, you might be able to make the argument that Gonzaga is doing it too, playing just as well or better, and that, for better or worse terminology, it was kind of their spot to take. And that, like, what has Auburn done to leapfrog Gonzaga, I guess, is the argument that some people might make. But I don't know. I'd say that getting the wins that they've gotten, I mean, like you said, first 16 in a row, but their only loss is in a 2-overtime game on a neutral court against Connecticut, you know, who's a really good team. Yeah. And they, you know, they've got wins over Kentucky, and Alabama and Florida and LSU and Murray State, who's turned into one of the best mid-majors in the country. you know.
Careful of that term. We'll talk about
careful about who we call mid-majors. I feel like Murray State's a little safer than San Diego State, but hey, who knows these days?
So we mentioned Boise State's defense because we need to discuss the high-scoring football version of the basketball game, 42-37.
Yeah, I mean, if that was played like 3 months ago, that would have been a barn burner. But
that'd have been amazing. Now,
right?
Was this more of a? I'm looking at the win probability / game flow. Mm-hmm. So at one point, I don't care about win probability; it's kind of a weird stat. But I was trying to just find the score differential because those charts depends to have it. So I'm looking at their. I just went to the high probability at the 10:34 mark in the second quarter. Excuse me, second half. 35-24. This game, like,
it was hard to watch.
Yeah, like, defense is appreciative. Like, I watched the, in the NFL, you had the Bengals and the Titans game, which wasn't extremely high scoring. Bunch of field goals by the Bengals. Titans, I believe, had 9 sacks against Joe Burrow. Still, that's an exciting game when you get to the quarterback and you do things. But when you can't crack 50 points in a basketball game, I get it. There's defense that plays well. We're also not shooting extremely well. When you have guys like Aycott go 3-13, that's not ideal for games. Or Matt Bradley going 3-13 as well, 1-6 from deep. It's like, shoot better than 31%. Come on. Get to 30%, Aztec. What? Oh, my goodness. This game was a mixture of some defense, but mostly kind of a brick fest.
And these are two top 10 defenses, so what you're not seeing in the box score is, you know, clearly, how contested were those shots? Where did they come from? You know, inside the 2-point line, or the 3-point line, I suppose.
But what 2-point line?
Yeah, I guess that's not really a thing. The thing that I'm looking at here in the flow on KenPom, mm-hmm. and it's interesting because if you look in the just base box score, even though men's college basketball is played in halves, he lists out the quarter by quarter scoring. Mm-hmm. And in the, you know, the third quarter, the first 10 minutes of the second half, Boise State outscored San Diego State 13-1. That's a 13-1 run over 10 minutes. And then over the next span, you get a 13-0 run almost immediately to like cancel it out where, you know, it's just both teams sort of took time off, I guess, for lack of a better term there, for long stretches. I mean, these are like 6-7 minute runs too, where 13 points over that span, that's not great offense either, but to not score in that span, it was a wild game. The first half was a little bit more back and forth, punchy. The second half was a game of runs, and then, you know, it ends kind of close there.
Yeah, 5 points. Because yeah, that game, then you have Boise, like the stretch they've won in, or excuse me, winning it. It's not like, no offense to the other teams, but they're not going through UNLV, New Mexico, San Jose State, and Air Force the past week. Like this past week of games, we'll get the Wyoming game they beat. They beat Utah State and San Diego State on the road. So like past three games.
This was a big week for them to win these three games, and there's two more coming up too against Fresno State and Wyoming, both on the road that are going to be really hard. And that kind of ends. I think it is BJ Raines, I think, who on Twitter has kind of been listing this out as like the gauntlet part of the schedule, and they've been cruising. Yeah. I mean, it's just that's. Whether the wins have looked good, I mean, hey, it's hard to say that they've been cruising when they've got a 6-point win against Air Force at home, a 3-point win against Utah State.
Buzzer beater, essentially. One point. You know what I mean? Like a second
and a half. I mean, and in San Diego State, they won that game at the death, too. And Wyoming, they
doesn't
won
matter.
That game.
You know what?
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
And it doesn't. But what matters to me, anyway, as somebody who like understands the math in the KenPom stuff, is that KenPom doesn't care about the W or the L next to this result. It only really cares about the points per possession that happened within it. And so what sucks for a team like Boise State, I guess, is that KenPom is used so much nowadays that people sort of take it as like, we get the top 25 from the AP, but we don't really we've got the net, but nobody really trusts it yet. And so otherwise, KenPom is really becoming, I think, the de facto, like, the 1 to 358 ranking of teams that kind of people absorb a little bit. I think people know that it's not 100% accurate, but then they get frustrated when they see, you know, why is Boise State 41? Look at these wins, the second longest win streak in the country. They've done it against, you know, a bunch of these top 100 teams in KenPom. Why aren't they going up? And it's because they're not beating, you know, they're not outscoring teams by enough. The defense looks great, but the offense doesn't. And, you know, this isn't the right metric if you want to get rewarded for the toughness, right? The aspect of actually winning the game. Because a lot of people say, you know, and I think you have to agree, wins and losses have to matter. And that's fair. They do.
Yeah, yeah. You have
to. And this is why, this is why KenPom isn't what they use solely to seed the bracket or to fill the bracket. That's why they have other metrics. And so in a metric like the Kevin Pauga index, which is totally resume based, and you get like a 1 to -1 score for every game you play in, whether, you know, and if you win, it's going to be a pretty positive score. And if you lose, it'll be more negative. That's on the NCAA team sheet as well. And Boise State's number 24 in that one. And I think they are either like two spots ahead or two spots behind Colorado State. I don't have it up in front of me, but they are, from a resume standpoint, they're great. But yeah, the analytics, or, and even that, saying the analytics, there's not one set of analytics. There are two very separate sets of analytics.
It's all a piece of a puzzle where your win record is this. You're like, I'm looking, let me ask a quick question. I'm familiar with KenPom to a degree. I don't have a subscription this year. I just haven't, but I was thinking about it because this reminds me, this is almost identical to, like, I'll bring up football again because why not? Utah State football, conference champs. They won their bowl game. They won 12 games. They're amazing. They lost a couple of games this year. That's it. They were extremely good. Their SP Plus, which Bo Connolly does ESPN, like, why the heck are they not ranked higher? What's going on? Like, there's, I'm not sure how comparable these formulas are for what they include. I know it's kind of based on the opponent, but what I was looking at is like, it's how, the reason I brought this up, because it's like how you beat teams. Because Bill Conley has a thing. It's basically, if we replay this game again, what's the win probability? So what we see from the box score and how the game was played, what would the probability of you winning that game, a percentage wise? Utah State wasn't that high in some of their games. Like, I don't know if you remember the Colorado State debacle where the Rams rushed on the field, couldn't get a field goal off, and they
won the game.
It was a short field. Like, that's, they won the game, but if you go back how they played the game, if the Rams had a competent coaching staff or whatnot, they could have gone out there, spiked the ball, whatever they would have done. There's enough time essentially to get a better and controlled environment for a final play.
Right. And so basically the point is that Utah State very easily could have lost that game and maybe should have lost that game, but the analytics aren't going to show that because they're going to show a whatever point win. Is that kind of?
Yeah, and there are games where they play New Mexico State, started slow, they came back and win. It's like, what's the deal? This team's garbage. They end up winning maybe by, I forgot the final score, but a comfortable win. But through halftime, I think it was like 13-10 in football. So I was looking at the luck factor. I'm like, oh, maybe Boise State has luck factor, but they're basically a middle of the pack luck factor, according to KenPom, whatever. I don't know. It's what 157. Do you know what their luck factor includes? Like, what's the rationale luck rating?
I'm not 100% sure on the luck rating. It doesn't factor into the ranking as far as I know.
I believe it's like on their main page. That's really like adjusted stuff. Maybe they're a top, because everything on their stat sheet there at KenPom is defense is top 10. They're like top 50, top, and also it's opponent based too, like how good your opponent. So we know their non-conference isn't always amazing. So is that to consider? I was wondering, like, luck factor. Oh, they're just middle of the pack. So I don't know. I'm just trying to think of reasons why they'd be that low. But my guess is that their offense is at a degree, and who they played, even though Mountain West is good. Are they Let me ask you this.
One quick idea, I think, on what the luck thing, if I were to create one, what it would at least sort of entail would be kind of looking at when teams play you, do they play up to their level or do they play down? Do they play Like, if you play a team and all of a sudden they go, like, every team you play just goes bonkers, like way better than they average on the season, then you're gonna have really bad luck. But if every team you play sucks the day they play you, then you're gonna have really good luck. That would be my guess. Because you see a team like Providence really high in this ranking. And I've seen people at least talk about how, like, oh, well, Providence beat them and blah, 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 didn't have, you know, whoever.
Injury,
like,
or
like Johnny Davis didn't play in the game or something like that. And it, you know, and that doesn't show up here, but the luck thing maybe sort of shows it. So I think that is a component in it. And if I'm wrong, I beg the listeners.
That makes sense, though. You overachieve. Yeah, you play better than you typically play. Like, say your average offensive efficiency is 97, and you go and you basically play. Well, I don't. Well, that's not a good example, but whatever your rating, you shoot above your rating. Like, oh, you're actually playing like tonight. Yeah, I don't know. This might be too detailed. But let's say your number 100 offensive efficiency, but you play that game where, if you look at the season stats, that'd be like a top 10 offensive game compared to, like, you know, I'm getting at, like, okay, number 10 has this. Like, right now it's whoever it is. It doesn't matter. I'm looking at UCLA. They're 16th. But that average number, because I don't know if KenPom probably does it per game, but that game itself, if you were to look at the entire season average of 1 through 354 and number 10 has this rating and you achieve that rating in that game, we're throwing crap out there, but that makes sense where you are. You just overplay what you typically play. Like, it could be a foul factor too. Like, well, why is there 28,000
Sure. It could also have something to do with, you know, like, I don't know, if teams have a really bad free throw percentage against you, there's really not a lot that you can do to defend a free throw. Sure, there are some home court advantage things, perhaps, but if it happens
on the mascot, man, come on.
Sure, but if it happens on the road, then there's really, like, what did you do at all to defend that free throw? Probably nothing.
Exactly.
So I think, you know, like, things like that could end up being factored in there too. I'm not exactly sure where to find if there, you know, a detailed methodology on the luck thing on there, but either way, it doesn't factor in as to the final. Yeah, that's the final overall is just adjusted offense minus adjusted defense. And so you get that efficiency margin there, and it's
The plus whatever or minus.
Yeah, whatever. Plus or minus whatever. So, and that's what you used to win.
One more question on KenPom, but could there be a change, because the SP Plus in football, they include a lot of preseason stuff. Could it be that they haven't caught up to Boise State being this good yet, and it may take time? I don't know. I'm just wondering how much preseason bias is included.
A month and a half ago, for sure, that could have been part of it. I think at this point, we're almost to February. I'm pretty sure most of the preseason stuff has gone out, and it's just going off of this season now.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure. But I do believe that usually around the new year is when those things start to really have a very small effect, if any. And by February, I think they're generally gone from just about any metric. So that shouldn't be it. What I think it really is for Boise State, and again, in KenPom specifically, is the margins of victory, and I guess, you know, the strength of schedule comes into it as well, to some degree. It's not the best, it's not the worst, but they're not getting a lot of credit for it, let's say. They're not getting dinged either, but they're not getting extra credit for some of these wins because they're impressive but, you know, I don't know.
Is their best non-conference win what, Washington State or Utah Valley?
It's,
or no, it'd be Mississippi, I guess. Never mind. There's them on there.
No, I mean, I think it's I think it's Washington State.
Washington State? Oh, sorry.
They beat Washington State, and they did it in Spokane. Essentially, but not officially. Which you kind of wonder, like, why would you do that? And yeah, I mean, Pullman and Boise, you know, I guess
whatever. Or it's like when CSU was supposed to play the Crimson Tide in Birmingham. Come on.
Right.
So okay, I was looking through, like, they have a couple of decent non-conference wins. I guess St. Louis and losing to Bakersfield doesn't help either. And so
And I think this is maybe one of the reasons why people are hoping to see Boise State rise in KenPom is because look, there aren't that many good wins available. I love CSU. I love San Diego State. I love you. I love everybody, right? But
yeah,
beating Colorado State on the road, that's a great win.
We'll have that March 5th. That's the season finale.
Sure. And you get that once. And you get one of those games. You get what? San Diego State at home. Hopefully that's still a Q1 game. When
Utah State, they've been up and down. The Aggies have been – they're tougher at home because they beat San Diego State just the other
day. Wyoming and Fresno State, they're top 60 teams right now. Yeah. But where are they going to be? Are they still going to be top 75 teams a month from now when you need them to be? Because it doesn't matter what they are right now. It matters what they are at the end of the season. A Q1 win today might not be a Q1 win tomorrow, and that's important. And in the Mountain West, there's not a lot. So, you know, I can understand why people are dismayed to see Boise State ranked lowly in the metrics because they're not getting marquee wins that, like, the nation is taking notice of. Because, you know, Mountain West fans understand what Boise State is doing, I think.
Home games are extremely difficult. Utah State. They're okay this year. They're not amazing.
We saw what San Diego State did at Viejas to Colorado State too. They beat them by 30 points. Yeah, exactly.
Home court is this league. I can argue.
Go to Clune and try to win a game by 20 points. That's tough.
Auditorium arena. You know what I mean? Like, go. Right.
Exactly. Wow.
It's the probable. Like, am I overstating that?
Save Mart.
Oh, come on. Okay. Is this a like for home court? Is this like maybe I'm extrapolating too much, but top three, top five home court in the conference?
Okay.
Like, you know, I'm getting like the toughest road games.
So here's what I can tell you from Ken Pom's site, and thanks Ken Pomeroy for having all this information. Home win percentage in the 35 games played in the Mountain West so far, 20 of 35 home teams have won. So that's like 57%. Okay. That is almost exactly middle of the pack in the country.
That's it. I thought it'd be higher.
Well, yeah. So there's been some teams going. Well, that's the thing, is like you're getting these teams going and getting these impressive wins. So Boise State, right? They just went and they beat Nevada on the road. They beat New Mexico on the road. They beat Utah State on the road. They beat San Diego State on the road. So, you know, that hurts the home win average of the whole Mountain West when Boise State rolls through those four games. And, you know, it's only 30. They're only halfway through the schedule so far, too. So the sample is smaller. But, you know, if Boise State continues just beating everybody, then that home court for the entire league is going to look a little smaller in that one metric.
If you look more closely just at Boise, we mentioned Utah State by three, Aztecs by five, Wyoming by a couple points, 3 points? Or no, they haven't played the road game. But yeah, the road victories only beat you and Mexico by 8 points. That's it. And so
Here's another thing. I got another one for you. So Ken Pom also has a rating for each team's home court advantage, which I think is basically just, you know, points that they get if they play at home. Air Force is at the top with ranked number four in the country. The Pitt is number two. Now, these are historical rankings, by the way. Fine, so they take it's not just this year. As far as I understand it, it also takes into account things like elevation, non-steal turnovers, block percentage, personal fouls, and points. So there's, you know, a decent amount of things taken into account here. Air Force, New Mexico, Utah State is at number 14, Nevada at 32, Colorado State at 35, Boise State at 65, Wyoming at 72, UNLV at 99, Viejas at 102. That's crazy.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, you know, but they're the numbers. And then Save Mart at 136. And I don't know, San Jose State is at Ability 360. Is that where they're still playing their games?
They play at their home arena. Stop
I
know. It.
I just had to get one more Ability 360 joke in before it was all over.
How many memberships do they land from that?
God, I don't know, man. But I think the Phoenix economy is still, you know, booming because of it. All right. So anyway, there's more teams in the Mountain West than just Boise State. I just listed them all.
Sure about that?
So besides them, I mean, I think Boise State. So I'll give you another little piece of inside info from my colleague Lucas Harkins over at HeatCheck CBB, who does our bracketology.
Supposed this past week. Holy crap! I'm halfway.
Oh
first.
Man, his bubble watch.
Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah, I edited that thing and it was crazy.
Oh boy.
Anyway,
wish you well. Good luck. Are you glad you did it or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. So in his latest bracketology that he's working up as we record this, I got a little sneak peek of where the Mountain West is about to fall. So he has Colorado State as a 7 seed right now. And I think the metrics like KenPom, they like Colorado State a little better because despite that 130-point loss, they've only dumped positive info into the system, and a lot of them have been beatdowns. Even if they've been behind in the first half, it doesn't matter as long as they, you know, clean it up by the end of the game and still win by 10. Mm-hmm. That helps. So he's got Colorado State as a 7 seed. Boise State, he says, is a 9 seed. So they've played their way pretty safely in. So for all of you dismayed Boise State fans out there, just know that Lucas Harkins, who, you know, selfishly, I can, you know, I it's not just selfishly, he's like the number 3 rated guy on the bracket matrix ranking. So I'm not just making this up. He's really good at what he does. And he finds them pretty firmly in the field at this point. So
that makes sense.
You know, low KenPom be damned. Boise's dancing if they don't collapse again. So just don't collapse again, Boise, please. I want to watch you in the tournament for real. I don't want it to be a play-in game. I want you to be safely in the field. So just do it and get in, Boise State.
So okay. When you look at, really quick, we'll get the other, this is a good way to get them other teams. Bracket Matrix, I have them up because this is last updated January 26th. We're recording the 27th, so this will be out 20th. Most of these brackets, a couple of slackers from week out, so it's a little wonky, sort of, but there's a good number. There's 93 brackets. There's a good amount that have been updated within a day, essentially. They have
And we're going to get even more people up on that daily bracketology soon, I'm sure. You're going to see that list up to like 125 by the end of it.
Yeah. We're at 93, and it looks like 30 to 40, about a third, a good chunk, maybe half almost, are updated from 26. So you have CIC was a 7 seed. You have San Diego State, a 10 seed. Then you have Boise. And only 70 of 93 brackets as 11, and then Wyoming as a 12. Not a play-in 12, but actually a 12 in the field, with them being in a two-thirds of these brackets. So, and that's only Mountain West. No other teams getting consideration. Is there any other team you would – I think that's it. CSU, Aztecs, Utah State's not even on here at all. That's slightly surprising, or no? Are they that far down?
No, I mean, the thing is, you've got to look at – you well – I'm not saying that they aren't good enough to be a tournament team and maybe even win a first round.
Never mind.
They are 2-5 in conference.
I just realized, I'm like, they're better than that. They beat San Diego State. I'm like, maybe I just look at it one game. And so, yeah,
they've struggled. I mean, and they had a hell of a run there with CSU, Wyoming, Fresno State, Boise State, San Diego State, all back to back to back to back to back. So I mean, that's,
I apologize for my ignorance of St. Aggies. I'm real. I'm like, hey, I beat San Diego State. They must be doing well. I know they've been up and down, but they're mostly down. But so this league, we'll get to all these teams.
One second. So you didn't let me get to where Lucas had the other teams.
I skipped ahead.
So San Diego State, he has as an 11 seed, a little lower, but I think he's, you know, reflecting the loss that they took to Utah State there as well, which some of those brackets might not be doing in the bracket matrix right now.
Correct. Some are before that game.
And then Wyoming is a 12 seed, baby, coming in the play-in game. So he's got a 4 mid Mountain West as of January 27th in the evening. So it's still possible. We'll see. He's got Wyoming and SDSU pretty close, he says. It may be that San Diego State's sort of trending downward a little at the moment. I mean, Wyoming, taking that loss is a little bit too, but they're both, I think, pretty close to the cut line and, you know, close to each other. Yeah. So the Forbid Mountain West dream, it lives for now. It may not live into February. We'll see. We've still got another weekend coming up.
Can you imagine, this might be heartbreak for Cowboys fans and us as well, if Marcus Williams is still in Laramie?
No, what's going to be even worse is if somehow Wyoming misses the tournament and Texas A&M gets in, because they're having a good season right now. And if Marcus Williams goes to the tournament and Wyoming doesn't, and with the season that Wyoming's having so far, that would make me sad. As I mean, good for Marcus Williams and stuff, but like, it would add a little poignancy to this whole thing.
He's only averaging 10 points a game in Texas A&M this year, so.
Yeah, but he'd still get to go.
I mean, 15 points as a freshman and put up multiple games of 20-plus points last year.
But hey, when he was around last year, they weren't doing this. And it's not like Wyoming brought in a huge crew of new dudes. It's a lot of the same people they had last year. So, again, it's kind of like the Derek Alston thing. It's not like, you know, I don't mean to be negative about the singular player who is gone, but this team seems to be doing pretty well in the wake of the loss of those players.
Yeah, so, better than we thought, because he was a scorer. Like, he probably would have been a 20 point guy, but or close to it. 20 point.
He tapered off at the end of last year a bit. I mean,
yeah, as a freshman,
15. Legs. Yeah, I'll give you 15 for sure. I just don't know that I saw him as a 20 point guy, not in the Mountain West. I mean, that's hard.
Close to it, but yeah, he'd have those games where he'd go off. Yeah, but that's
he could have been on the Grant Sherfield trajectory, perhaps.
Exactly. Yeah. So who knows? Like, whatever. It happens. Sucks. He leaves. Good for him to go back closer to home. But that's another story for another day about this transfers and stuff. But
yeah.
So within the league, like, what's coming up? Here's what we discussed. We need to come up with this. We joke with Syracuse getting 11 seed. What nickname can we use to make it synonymous? Is it getting cused? Is that what can we use? Like, hey, they're getting cused.
Oh, getting cused. Oh man, I think.
Or you got cues because that random 7-9 Big Ten team or 8-10 ACC team gets in over Boise State or something, or
I think you got to include Boeheim in it, because I feel like he's a big reason. I don't know that Syracuse is still going to. I'll be interested to see how teams like Syracuse and Duke are treated, and North Carolina too, I suppose, to some degree. As they lose these iconic coaches, and if they still get the same like year to year deference that they seemingly always have. North Carolina could actually be a very interesting one this year, because they are, you know, pretty bubbly.
For those who are wondering what the heck is this, because we had some guy in DM like, "What's next hoop show?" I'm like, "Sorry, dude, tonight." He's like, "All right, thanks, I love it." So I appreciate that. But we bring this up because it's the opportunities Mountain West teams get where, and this can lead into your thing about what level of basketball the Mountain West really is. And it's basically you're gifted. And we talked about this a million times. If you're in a big power, a big time conference, you play what, 18 games in your league, and what, 10 of them might be Q1s, right?
Right. Which is, you know, that's a loaded situation, I guess, because the Q1, like, you get to be good in the net by beating teams by a lot generally, and then beating good teams, you know, after that. What a lot of these teams in the big conferences do is they spend the early portions of the season. Now they play each other, some of them don't either. You know, a lot of the middle of the pack teams in the ACC, the SEC, the blah, 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 they will, you know, basically play bye games all non-conference season long. Mm-hmm. And they will just invite teams to come play them at their house while they rack up a ton of good numbers. And now all of a sudden the Big Ten has like 12 teams in the top 70 or something. And then they go and they play each other. And now all of a sudden they get Q1 wins all the time. Meanwhile, a conference like the Mountain West, they can't get the big teams to schedule them because because it's hard. And the little teams aren't, they want to go play the big guys because the paychecks are better. Yeah. And, you know, so they don't get a chance. So they end up having to play intra, you know, mid-major games a lot more.
Or those MTEs to help. That's why CSU is hoping to do in Alabama to play like a mini 4-team tournament. You play two games in 2 days.
Right.
Stuff like that. And like looking, there's some leagues that are fine. Like, okay, where would you, okay, just I pull up the net rating. Big 12 is a good conference, regardless of how many Q1s they have. There's exceptions to all this rule, but looking at how would you, Big East is in that range. Where would you put Seton Hall, like kind of in the tournament? Are they pretty safely in for the most part?
Seton Hall, yeah. They're not making it easy. I think they're still pretty safely in the field. I'm looking at that 3-6 conference record. I mean, that's a hole that they need to dig out of.
But they have seven Q1 games they've played in 3-4. Like, hey, they'll end up winning maybe six. They could possibly win five Q1 games. Like, oh, look, they're 5-5 in Q1, right. But they're 16-9 overall. It's like, and it's a chicken and egg thing. Like, is the league getting respect like the Big Ten ACC because that's the league, or the team's really that good? But then you can get a team who's, I'm not just on Seton Hall, I just kind of looked at kind of the record where the record's what 11-7. Whereas a team, like we joke with Syracuse the past couple of years, they're freaking 9-9 in league play, but they play 12 Q1 games and they're like 4-8 against them, or 5-7. And like that, those five Q1 wins are more than anybody has in the country, or like, well, not country, but I mean, like a respectable number of victories. And oh, the schedule must be so tough. But then it's like, well, did you look at the road record? Because like Stanford is sitting here 11-6, 2-1 in neutral, 1-4 on the road. They're piling up home wins, but they're 3-3 in Q1 games, and they're 5-0 in Q4. I know this is maybe a bigger off-season conversation, but I like to talk about this analytics stuff here and there. Let me simplify Sandy for you. Because I'm kind of going, I think you know where I'm getting at. But how?
I don't, honestly.
Oh, you don't? Oh, geez, this is terrible. But my point being, the chicken or egg thing is the Big Ten, I know they're good. I'm just giving an example, or ACC, or Big 12. Let's go to Big 12 because they're really good. So we know they're really good. Defending national champs, Baylor's in the conference, Texas Tech, all that stuff, Iowa State. Is the league rating deserved? Are they really that good? Or the other teams below, like not below, but like, say middle teams, are they, I'm trying to get at, is the conference, we know they're that good, but are they getting more respect than they deserve? So these teams that are maybe 6 through 10 who pull off a couple victories through that fringe team to get in, are they benefiting just because the league's that good, or are they really that good? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it kind of goes a little bit to what I was talking about with the schedules too. I think perception certainly plays a factor in a lot of things, but I guess I would want to know, you know, you say, are these teams really that good, or I guess
I know Baylor's good. I know Iowa State's good.
Sure. But the question I guess I'm asking is like, to whom, like in terms of NCAA selection committee, to AP top 25 voters,
like
to
the net rating,
Twitter fans, rating. Okay.
Kind of the net rating. Well, what are the metrics they use? Because we joke they get the benefit of the doubt. And I think maybe my question, maybe it's more along like this. The leagues are really good, but if you're a average to below average team and rattle off a couple of victories against these top teams, you have more opportunities. I guess I'm getting that the leagues are that good. But if you're a middle of the pack team and you win, because like the Big 12, if you're, I don't know how good Texas is this year, but just say you're number 6 in the conference. And that could be good enough to get an at-large bid. But the reason you get there is because you're able to play Baylor, Texas Tech, Iowa State, and you win 2 of 3, and one of them happens to be on the road. Whereas the Mountain West, where San Diego State might literally be good, almost as good as Iowa State. Colorado State may be on the same path as LSU or something in that range, or maybe not as good, but in that neighborhood where, heck, they're just as good as the number 5 Big Ten team that's getting in, but they're struggling as Mountain was number 3, and they may not get it because you played the Mountain West, you have 4 Q1 wins or 4 Q1 games.
Right, exactly. Whereas in the Big Ten, there's only one bad team in the Big Ten.
It's hard to find balance with it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, no, and you're right. And I think what ends up happening is that, you know, these teams that are affiliated with very large leagues that have a lot of prestige and a lot of money are able to set up really, really good schedules that are beneficial to them, that will help them in the net, that will help them in a lot of ways. And then other conferences are sort of left with the scraps of what to schedule. And that leaves them with subpar schedules. And they happen to be those teams in the same leagues. Now, that's not to say that the Mountain West only has mid-major programs, let's say. So the argument that I was having earlier today with...
That's what I was getting to, yes. We're finally
right.
There.
So the argument I was having with not even really an argument, I would say...
Discussion.
A discussion with Michael DeCourcy of the Sporting News on Twitter earlier, talking about the Mountain West. I was kind of complaining a bit that what happens is these teams in the Mountain West beat up on each other, and in other mid-major leagues too, they beat up on each other.
100%
and they don't get bids because now all of a sudden they have these, you know, bad losses. And then I think they get punished for that to a larger degree perhaps than other leagues, as, you know, as evidenced by the number of bids that go to each league every year. That's kind of my
That's 100% true, because brand names, I know in the, here's at the end of the day, it's humans picking these people or picking these teams. The computer, you're not taking the average of the six rankings and going 1 through 68, because then we'd all know who's in the tournament, and CBS would be like, why do I have a selection show? Who cares?
Right.
And so at the end of the day,
exactly.
We joke with Syracuse, but they have been amazing in a long time, since like Carmelo Anthony, Jerry McNamara. It's been a while since they've been like uber good national championship contender. It's been a long time. They've been good. They've had great years, but nothing to that success, if I recall. But if you're human, like, oh, they lost to, you mentioned North Carolina or Kansas or Duke, or especially Duke, they're losing Coach K after this year. Is Duke, if you lose to Duke by six at home, well, and Duke's whatever, just say the 1 year Duke's like they finish 17-14. Well, it's just Duke. Who cares? You beat Duke by 5 points, a better example, and Duke's barely above 500 for one down year. It's like, well, it's Duke. It's like, is it really Duke, or is it the jersey you're looking at? Or have you seen Catch Me If You Can, Andy, that movie with
I have.
Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hanks, where he goes into the Florida home, whatever, DiCaprio, they're trying to catch him for check fraud, and it's really a great movie, you should watch it. He's like, here, show me some credentials. His hands are full. He's got the typewriter type thing, the ink machine. Here, hold my wallet. And he's like, sure, take it. He's like, can I see some credentials? Like, just put the gun down here. Tosses him the wallet. It's thick, and he finally looks into it, and it's full-on just playing cards, whatever, because he's staring at the wall, because that's all it is. And it's like, well, this guy must be dressed in a suit. He looks nice. His presence is there.
Right.
He looks like what he should be, but once you open it up, it's like, ooh, what did they end up being the crook? It's like, what the heck?
It looks like Duke. It smells like Duke. Is it Duke?
But it's not. It's fraud. Right. That's the point of getting at, where they're looking at the jersey name to a degree.
Now, last year, to the selection committee's credit, and because we're using Duke as the example here, Duke did not get into the tournament last year. So, you know, they were 13-11. They were 9-9 in the ACC, which is exactly the type of team we're kind of talking about. Right. Exactly. A 500 team in conference who's just barely over 500, you know, who finishes like,
had they played their seven other non-conference games, they go 6-1, they're in the tournament with that same.
Well, that's probably true.
Just saying, they can go Q3, Q4 games. And so that's my point too, where back to Michael, was it DeCourcy? Is that how you say his name?
DeCourcy.
He says San Diego State's problem is not losses. Losing games because of COVID. I'm like,
true.
Yeah, but every team's going to do that. And the number of games shouldn't impact these advanced numbers because it's a per game thing. Now, losing the opportunity to play a better team, which teams? Yeah, because CSU and Boise are only going to play once now, unless they've Mountain West rescheduled, which could be a possibility. So I think his point would have been more pointed, like, hey, yes, you lose games, but who you lost. Like, I'd rather, if you're Mountain West, heck, get rid of Air Force, UNLV, if I could still play CSU or Boise State.
Yeah. And I mean, there's always scheduling things that kind of go, like Boise State has a kind of an unfavorable schedule bump, where I think they only play San Jose State and New Mexico one time this year. You know, because every year there's just like two teams that you only play.
Well, that's what they do. The Mountain West has openly said years ago they wanted the top teams to play each other more often.
Right. And so, you know, but now Boise State is in the position where they need blowouts to improve their, you know, analytics, and they don't really have a lot of good chances to get them.
They have four good games. I would say they go to Wyoming, go to CSU, host Utah State, and host San Diego State.
But I'm not talking about those analytics, Jeremy. I'm talking about the blowouts that they need to go up in KenPom. I don't care about the wins and losses against good teams. I care about
wins and losses. Get out of here.
I know you do, and everyone else does too, except for the people who are getting online and saying, and it's not just, you know, I don't want this to sound like it's just one person doing. I mean, Jeff Goodman had a whole thing the other day about, you know, why is someone ranked somewhere in some ranking? And it's because of the points. That's it. Because of the points per possession. That's literally all. And I mean, there's strength of schedule adjustments that go into it as well. So that kind of matters, but not as much as the points themselves matter. So,
both can matter, I would say, because it's like Utah State.
Not to Ken Pom. That's all I'm saying.
I'm fighting the machine, not you here.
Well, and you're fighting an argument that I'm not making too, which is what other people are doing. Is they're saying like that KenPom means that a team is good or bad, and it doesn't. A team is efficient, and that's it. Yeah, exactly. So I think you can probably hear it in my voice a little. Yes. I'm becoming increasingly, you know,
just say KenPom doesn't matter. Come on, just say KenPom.
No, it's not that KenPom doesn't matter. KenPom is fine, and efficiency is important. But people who want to see wins and losses rewarded are looking in the wrong place. That's all.
That makes sense. Because if you have close wins, your rating may not be bad because you win by 2 points. Like you could be 30-0, but whenever game by 2 points, I'd still be nervous every game. Like, is my team really good?
I'm pretty sure. So let me check New Mexico. Bart Torvik put this out on Twitter yesterday. Yeah, so New Mexico was ranked number 224 on January 1st. Mm-hmm. They have lost 7 games in a row since then. You know their ranking now? They're 176. They've moved up 50 spots by losing 7 games in a row because a lot of them were close and because they were against, you know, pretty good teams. And so, again, the wins and losses to KenPom don't matter.
That's fine.
That's why it's
part of the piece. That's why it's a piece.
Exactly. Here and there. Exactly. Which is why it's a part of the puzzle, which is why it's one of 6 metrics that are on those NCAA team sheets.
I will say this. You're right that Boise State would be advantageous for the human eye, computer formula, whatever, to win a game by 12 points down the road. It gets a decent
point. And that's all I'm saying is that if they got an extra game against San Jose State this year, that would be beneficial for the analytics over an extra game against Fresno State.
Because people don't watch these games. It's hard. You can't. There's 354 teams. Well, right. You got to pay attention to at least 200 of them, essentially.
And there's actually 358 of them, but only 349 of them are even eligible. So,
whatever.
The truth is somewhere else.
But my point, point being, it's like in the, I go back to college football committee. It's like, well, there's fewer teams. They still can't even watch enough games they need to watch to see. It's like, do we really need to watch App State this week? Or I know Coastal's pretty good. BYU is a fun team to watch, and they're number 16, but they're not making the playoff. Do we really need to watch them? And so I think the point, they look that, not that they box score watch, but in college basketball, it's a lot more box score watching, analytic watching, and maybe turn it into the tournament, like not NC2A, but you know, the conference tournaments to check stuff here. So you're right, we're getting if they go, they beat San Jose State 80-40, that'd be not just throwing scores out there, but
that would be good.
Yeah,
that would be very good for their stretch.
That's just your point being where, yes, how efficient are you? But winning by 15 points would be helpful because if they go out and beat San Jose State, UNLV, in Air Force, those 3 games, if they go out and beat those teams each by 12 points each, that would go a long way, winning 60-48, 55-39, whatever, and 74-60. That would be look, because what that would do for, I know we're Boise heavy here, so you can blame us loving Boise State, even basketball. No, I don't care. But
they have the most interesting situation going on right now in terms of the bracket, I in my opinion.
Yeah. 13 in a row victories. And if they tack on the end of, let's say they lose, they're not going to go undefeated the rest of the way, but let's say they lose to Utah State at home. That's a possibility, I think. They're good enough if Aggies play well enough. But
if the Aggies can win in Viejas, then I think they can win an extra mile.
Oh, totally. I mean, but my point is, sure. But I'm going to say Boise gets the Wild Moon just for this exercise because that would be great. Okay. They beat Fresno by reasonable points, but you tack on like an 18-game winning streak and three of those games you get double digits. Like, oh, look how strong they're playing. 18-game winning streak, three of the whatever, or even going back to the whole streak, like they beat Nevada. They have four games over 10-point victories four or five games with 10-point wins. That goes a long way instead of winning every game by a couple points. And that's what the Mountain West is hard to do. It's like, when you look at the other teams in the league, I know there's a lot of Boise here, but just you're right, they're most intriguing because they missed a big – they're the only team, as far as I can recall, without looking super deep, coming off their COVID issues, whether it's them or other teams, to not miss a beat. Aztec struggled. Utah State struggled. All these teams, because players are sick, you're coming back, you're not at full strength, you're still – it's like a flu type thing. You're like, you got to get your energy back. You got to get your stamina back. And Boise's been a team where – it has not impacted them during that stretch. And that's a benefit for, I don't recall. I think they had one game. The Wyoming game was the only one on there. And I think that was an issue. The other two, I think first Aggies and CSU were on the other teams. I don't recall, but they're playing the best basketball right now. And they're, for me, like they're the team that's probably going to win. And like the Wyoming game this weekend, is there anybody else before we wrap it up here? We've been going for a minute and all boys, like what other teams do we get to? We talked a couple bracket stuff. Anybody else that's interesting besides, is Utah State the only real wild card that can make a run here to be maybe number five or get in there? Because I think they're going to have to probably win the whole thing to get there at this point.
Well, I think, you know, Nevada is a team to look at. Sure. They're always kind of there, but they also just lost Warren Washington to a broken finger in a kind of what sounded like kind of a gruesome injury a little bit yesterday. I didn't see it myself, thankfully, but I heard that it's not great. So they lose their top big man there. That's not good for Nevada's whole season has been kind of thrown off kilter with AJ Brahma being gone, okay, with everything. Two stoppages, you know, not having the roster you thought you were going to have. I mean, not to say that that's a bad thing. They've been better without Brahma.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I suppose. But anyway, you know, they're not.
Fresno then? Fresno's 14-5.
Fresno's also there. Yeah. Oh, gosh. I forgot that we didn't even talk about. Yeah. So yeah, Fresno.
Bro, that's the thing we should be discussing.
Apologies, that is the thing Bulldog that we should. Fans. Yeah. Sorry, Bulldog fans. That was not on purpose. Yeah. So Utah State and Nevada can fight over sixth place. Fresno State, I think, is clearly going to be on that five in that top five, and importantly in being in that top five get a first round bye in the Mountain West tournament. So Fresno State, let's talk about them for
Orlando
Orlando Robinson, who currently is number four in the somewhat dubious KenPom Player of the Year rankings. He's like
your David Roddy rankings for your
well,
those two games was great.
No, those are great. Those are perfect rankings, by the way.
Exactly.
No, so the Gold Star Guide rankings that I do, the individual player rankings for Heat Check. Let me take a look here. Orlando Robinson, number 15 in today's rankings.
Okay.
David Roddy is number 8, by the way. So and Justin Bean is number 5. So Aggie fans, don't come after me.
Taco Time Bean Burrito. Go get it.
Heck yeah, man. I mean, hey, three Mountain West guys in the top 15. I clearly made this correctly.
League is great. Like this is one of the best years in a long time.
Yeah. But the other thing too with Fresno State, they are not just Orlando Robinson. Deion Stroud is awesome. He doesn't even start, but he is awesome.
Isaiah Hill with him 14 points the other day. Like Holland had 22 versus New Mexico. Like they have multiple guys that let you finish, but that can score points. It's not just Robinson.
No, I mean, and you finished the point well. And Holland has been a guy who's come out really nicely. I mean, he had, you know, 20 in a win over San Jose State. Okay, fine. You know, but he had 19 in the game against San Francisco. Sure, they lost, but like,
but hold on. Don't
San Francisco's not a joke.
Wait, hold on. Don't say that's fine or whatever. They got that coveted 20-point victory over San Jose State. The blowout that you were
they did. Before. Now Fresno State did get that coveted 20-point win. and they got, you know, they've got big wins over Weber State as well, Cal Poly. Those are wins that help later on in the season.
Utah loss shouldn't have happened. No, they're garbage.
Yeah, well, no, those are the things that hurt later on in the season too. Losing to Cal in Utah is not a good look, really. Is the Pac-12 a mid-major? That's a good question.
Ooh,
no,
I like your thing. They
probably aren't.
Arizona, UCLA, come on.
But the reason I wanted to say something about Holland is he had 26 points in the pit in a 65-60 win over New Mexico. That's huge. He added 8 rebounds too, just, you know, in case that wasn't impressive enough. So yeah, Anthony Holland's been coming on as of late. He's been having a pretty good run. He's double digits in 5 of the last 6. So yeah, another guy to keep an eye on. That's a team that could make a dark horse run towards that Wyoming San Diego State spot in the bracket. But I, at this point, I'm sort of leaning towards Fresno State would have to get in through the conference tournament probably. And if they do that, then it's almost assuredly going to come at the expense of one of the 4 teams above them, not one of the others.
Sucks in the conference, but it's kind of like they live in. Getting 5 in is difficult. So, but we can wrap on this. Their schedule is very favorable to get a higher seed and maybe not even have to win the conference tournament to get there because they host Boise State coming up.
Yeah.
Nevada's whatever. They get to play Boise State at home, Wyoming at home, go to CSU, host San Diego State, and go to Wyoming. Their schedule is not easy down the stretch. So they have opportunities to win big time games to move up and be. It's still too early to call any race. One thing I need to look at, maybe a good weekly thing on the site, like teamrankings.com puts, I think, conference win probability for the rest of the season. Mm. That might be something to look at. I don't want to pull up now. We've been talking far too long about numbers and stuff, but the teams they play, they have chances. Like, could they be Boise at home? Yeah, why not? It's at home. You know what I mean? Home court. And they only lost to them by 10 on the road, which that's a reasonably close game, 65-55, about a couple weeks ago. But the teams they play, they have chances to get solid victories. Like, if they can go on the road and beat CSU and Wyoming, holy crap, that would put them in the conversation. Because for me, for them to get there, let's just look at the bigger games. Boise State at home. Wyoming home, CSU, San Diego State, and Wyoming. 5 of those, 3, if I'm correct, are on the road. CSU, Wyoming, and two. So 2 are on the road, 3 at home. If they go 3-2 in any stretch, that I'd imagine that has to put them closer. Out of those 5, everybody's above them. They're sitting 3-2. That could put them like as maybe a 3 seed for the conference tournament.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll do it, but I'm just saying.
So the problem that Fresno State's going to have is kind
this
of
this week they play 3 games in a week.
No, the problem that Fresno State has, no, well, you're right that there are problems still coming up for them. The bigger problem is just the past. They just didn't, there's nothing good in the non-conference. I mean, in terms of wins, the best win is neutral site against Santa Clara. Oof. That's, I mean, and the best win on the season is at home against Utah State. So
Their chances are forthcoming to rectify.
Yes, there are chances forthcoming. But as we just spent, you know, 20 minutes talking about or whatever, there aren't that many Q1 wins available in this league. So if they pile up, if they have, you know, 0-0 Q1 record.
They're 0-2 right now.
So let's say that they finish 0-4 or 1-3.
Because right now, really quick, they play CSU, CSU, Wyoming, and Boise State, and San Diego State would all be Q1 games. Isn't Q1 top 35?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but I'm looking. I was looking at the KenPom rankings.
That's okay. Rankings. So they potentially, at most, 4. My home or road, I forget that the cutoff.
All right. Well, let's say that they're, you know, 2-3. 4 in Q1, and they're like, you know, 6-3 or something in Q2.
Yeah.
Like those just aren't great numbers. Their metrics would have to be a lot better than they are.
I think.
Well, because if you don't have the wins, then you need the metrics. And if you don't have the metrics, then you need those wins. The best thing to do is to have both.
Look at Belmont, right? When they're 30-2, it's like, are they really that large team? And they're 30 wins or something.
Or, you know, I think there was like a Monmouth team that was really, really good.
It's been
a long time ago. Or
it's like if was like 26-8 or something. But, guys, you got second place losing to some other SWAC team. It's like, really? Come on. We're good. Well, Trust us.
And COVID took away what would have been an interesting situation. There was like a 29-4 Stephen F. Austin team a couple years ago.
That's right,
back.
Yeah. Oh.
That was like sparking a huge debate in the bracketology community about, you know, should they get in as an at-large? And there were a lot of people saying, you know, yes, they should. And there were a lot of people saying like, no, who do they play? And, you know, they're like, it doesn't matter. They played 33 games and they won 29 of them. Shut up. They should win. They should go.
Give them a 14 seed. Just give them a chance. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. So you know, there's all sorts of fun questions that start cropping up right around this time of the year.
That's why we do this. It's fun.
It's interesting. It's
fake
fun
argue. Not fake argue, but you and me are on the same side, but you're arguing different points. Like, get Peter's sure, wins.
Right.
It's what?
Yeah, no, and when we hang up off of this, you know, it's like, I'm not going to hate you off of
anything you say. Our argument earlier was like, you were just not defending. Like, it wasn't even arguments. Like, it's the point where it's like, I'm not defending this, but here's why it's this way.
Right.
Because it's both. It's every piece of puzzle. Win record. I don't like the last 10 games, whatever. It's like, what's your win record? How strong is your conference? What is KenPom, KPI, whatever metrics they use?
Sagarin, BPI, SOR. Whatever. There's all sorts of stuff that goes into this. And it's just, and I mean, even that, though, on its own is sort of a problem because there's way too much information to digest. Even
like how just deep do you want to go, right? It's like, how even far
if you just look at the ranking number from each of those metrics, that's still like,
yeah,
that's so much data for these humans to digest and make perfect, you know, unimpeachable decisions off of.
At some point, so, Andy, are we going to get to a point per half second or something? You know what I mean? Like, what's your rating per second on the court? It's like,
exactly.
Imagine once they start putting chips and shoes and basketballs and you're, which they kind of have, like the heart rate monitors, like, oh,
here's but I also want, like, I want, like, a mood ring that's, like, you know, got a biosensitivity to it so that it can, you know, feed back to the computers, and I want to know, like, how did they feel? What were the vibes like on the court? They lead the league in vibes this year.
Yeah, or it's this what totally against you. It's total NFL draft trope type thing. The dude, you find out the guy doesn't care, he missed a 3-pointer because his mood rings is still happy or something.
Right? You never know. I need to know.
Quit giving them ideas, Andy.
No, I need to know, like, Tinder conversion rates off of these, not like I'm like talking to people, not anything.
No, I know
that came out wrong, but
no.
You know, I'm saying,
yeah, not, like, going all the way, but yeah,
there's so many factors that are so, like, dumb, and we're joking about them, but like, these are real men and women who go out there and they play these games, you know, like, we break everything down into the stats and we categorize them, you know, and all this stuff. But they're humans at the end of the day, and that sort of stuff comes in and can't really be quantified in a good way. So, like, all of these metrics, they're really good for sorting teams and informing your conversations, I guess. But there's only so much that can be done in terms of, say, pointing to one and saying, hey, look, they're good or they're bad. Right. You have to take it. It's tools in a toolbox, as you know, is a good way to think about it.
I don't want the sunny person rating. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm going to rate you after a day. Oh, my goodness. All right. Yeah. I think we've done well enough going over everything in the Mountain West. We will be back next week for sure to talk probably more nonsense like this, but we'll have some better games this week. We got Boise, Wyoming, a lot of games this week. So we'll be back next week to check things out and just kind of get everybody updated. So it's been a minute. I like this. Here's the funny thing is we barely talked about a single particular game and I love it. Not that I don't care about talking about the games, but I like the off court, this other type of stuff, sometimes more fun than what actually happens on the court. Because there's more.
Well, yeah. And I mean, these games happened like 3 days ago or whatever. We can go through
it. It's hard to do. We're not doing daily.
I would think most Mountain West fans have already done their autopsy on the most recent game that they've, you know, played in. And that's, you know, what does it all mean, though? That's what we're here for.
Yeah. Right? We're trying to put it all together.
Like, and I have the answers to the universe for sure, man. That's definitely something I have.
All right. Excellent. We'll be back. We'll be back next week at some point. MWR.com. Check out Andy's stuff at HeatCheckCDB.com. They do amazing things. They got Lucas, Eli, a bunch of guys over there. I'm probably forgetting who I don't know or don't recall at the moment, but plenty of guys. Check them out. Gold Star Rating, DPI. We have our buddy Larry does our weekly bracket updates. Just kind of check over that. Power Rankings, all sorts of fun stuff coming up. So March will be here before we know it. And we'll be back next week to, let's see who, let me, quick question. Is Boise going to be still winning games by the time we chat next week? Are they going to lose?
Man, I did call out Save Mart earlier, and because I randomly shouted out Save Mart, I'm gonna just arbitrarily pick an upset for Fresno State there.
Okay, next game January 28th. That is on Friday.
That's tomorrow from when we're recording right now.
Yeah,
that's
by, like, the time you hear. Oh yeah,
24, no, 24 hours from when I'm
9 p.m. Mountain Time FS1. Check it out, folks.
So, and when I'm wrong, come get in my mentions and tell me, you know,
I'll go the opposite. They're beating Fresno and Wyoming. So there's that.
And they honestly, they probably, I mean, they definitely can.
There's a chance.
there's no, I mean, with what they've done so far on this trip, I have no doubt that they can do it. But stumbles happen here and there. And exactly. Orlando Robinson in Save Mart, book it.
No, all right, that's Andy stole cold block of the
week. I'm really not that confident in it, guys. No.
All right, so we'll circle back to that particular game and see what happens. So, but we'll see you guys next time. And yeah, everybody have a great week and enjoy all the hoops games.